from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Approaching the 59th bilateral relationship, Venezuela is optimistic that cooperation with Indonesia will be stronger. Indonesia-Palestine sign elimination of custom duty policy for dates and olive. Minister of Home Affairs from Myanmar guarantees the safety of Rohingya in Rakhine State. Now the news in detail. Venezuelan Republic Ambassador to Indonesia, Gladys Francisca Urbaneja Turan in Jakarta on Monday, said that she is optimistic that cooperation between the two countries will continue to increase. When attending the anniversary of Venezuelan National Day, Ambassador Gladys Francisca Urbaneja Turan conveyed that bilateral relationship between the two countries will be able to increase consolidation and strengthen the cooperation of both countries.
The diplomatic relation between Venezuela and Indonesia next 9th of October reached its 59th anniversary. We are confident that this new stage of our relationship will continue to strengthen and consolidate the bilateral union and cooperation bond, giving mutual support to the candidacy in different international organizations. We congratulate this evening Indonesia for the recent election to the Security Council for the period 2019-2020.
In her remarks, Venezuelan Ambassador Gladys Francisca Urbaneja Duran conveyed the recent condition in Venezuela after bombing attempt against President Nicolas Maduro. She said, nowadays, Venezuela is facing challenge of rebels. According to her, the bombing was an effort to defeat the ratification of economic regulations, which will be launched on August the 20th. Ambassador Gladys said that the regulation is an effective way to solve the crisis in Venezuela and it will bring stability and prosper for Venezuelan people. Ambassador Gladys Francisca also invited the whole countries in the world to fight the terrorism together. Indonesia and Palestine signed the implementing agreement on Memorandum of Understanding about the preference of applying 0% custom duty elimination for dates and virgin oil from Palestine. The signing was conducted by Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita and Palestinian Ambassador in Jakarta Zuhair Alshun in Jakarta on Sunday. After the signing, Minister Enggar Tiasto said that the implementing agreement will automatically be applied next month and currently Indonesia and Palestine are preparing for cooperation on Preferential Trade Agreement or PTA.
Kita baru menandatangani tindak lanjut dari kesepakatan.
We have just signed the follow-up of the agreement established between the two countries and this is the follow-up of implementing agreement. It will automatically be applied next month and has fulfilled all the conditions. In our previous discussions, we both basically agreed to boost and increase the PTA between the two countries. Implementing agreement documents are the technical instructions on the MOU, on 0% custom duty elimination for dates and virgin olive oil products from Palestine to Indonesia. The signing of implementing agreement is a follow-up of the MOU ratification between the two countries. The process of ratification has completed, marked by the issuance of Presidential Regulation No. 34/2018 regarding with the ratification of the MOU with Palestine on April the 11th. The signing of implementation agreement is expected to accelerate the implementation of MOU between the two countries. According to Minister Enggar Tiasto, the MOU is a mandate for the establishment of instruments to facilitate exports from Palestine by eliminating the custom policy to Indonesia. This is the form of support by Indonesian people for the struggle of Palestinian people, particularly to boost the economic of Palestinian society. For information, the MOU on 0% custom duty elimination for dates and virgin olive oil products from Palestine to Indonesia was signed by Indonesian Minister Enggar Tiasto and Palestinian Minister of National Economy Abir Odeh on December 12, 2017. The signing was carried out during the bilateral meeting of Indonesia and Palestine on the occasion of the 11th Ministerial Conference of the WTO in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Bali process has been started since Monday in Nusa Dua for senior official level. On the sidelines of the event, it was also held a bilateral meeting between Indonesian foreign ministers Retno Marsudi with a number of ministers and representatives from international organizations. During the bilateral meeting, the most interesting thing was the meeting of Indonesian minister with the Home Affairs Minister of Myanmar, Lieutenant General Kiao Swear. Minister Retno Marsudi told the media that currently Lieutenant General Kiao Swear gives security guarantee for those who leave or plan to come back to the Rakhine State. Minister Retno Marsudi explained that besides appreciating the good commitment of Myanmar government, Indonesian government continuously encourages the security guarantee commitment to be applied well. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, the security guarantee is the most complete thing by the refugees of Rohingya, who currently have reached more than 500,000 at the Cox's Bazar refugee camp.
Jadi, kalau dari pihak Myanmar,
as the government of Myanmar affirmed to give guarantee about security and agreed to implement it, I think that it is going to be one of the positive steps. They said that the progress keep going, though it is a step-by-step matter, considering the complexity of the issue. On the other hand, Minister Retno Marsudi further said that the communication between the government of Myanmar and Bangladesh, which is still hampered by gap, is advised to be encouraged and more established by developing trust from the two countries, in a bid to resolve the repatriation issue particularly. Minister Retno emphasized that during resolving the issue of Rohingya refugees, it is important to involve ASEAN, which is part of Kofi Annan's recommendations. Indonesian government has decided emergency response team to be conducted for 2 until 3 weeks to evacuate and record the victims and areas affected by the quake. This was stated by Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Monday. 19 people killed and more than 200 injured due to the 7.0 Richter scale quake in Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara province. Vice President Yusuf Kalla revealed that the government will rehabilitate earthquake victims and will renovate their homes.
Kita semua mengucapkan bela sungkawa, simpati pada korban.
We express condolences, sympathy to the earthquake victims in West Nusa Tenggara, especially in North Lombok. Then, the government promises to immediately rehabilitate the areas. Earlier, it must be expected as an emergency response for 2 to 3 weeks, so as we can deploy the BNPB and the army. After the emergency response, there will be conducted rehabilitation and reconstruction. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, moreover, revealed that the government will optimize emergency response efforts for the evacuation so that appropriate and prompt handling can be done to reduce the number of casualties. The government is currently focusing efforts to provide assistance needed by the victims, including water, food, drinks, blankets, and others. PT Pelni, state-owned sailing company, especially provide ship to distribute humanitarian assistance to Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara from Surabaya, East Java. PT Pelni provides roll-on-roll type KM Aegon, which is able to carry passengers, vehicles, and heavy equipment. PT Pelni does not charge fees for sending assistance using KM Aegon. This was stated by the head of information and public relations from the National Disaster Management Agency BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, in a press release in Jakarta on Monday. Our company provides KM Aegon as transportation to dispatch assistance from Surabaya to Lombok for free of charge. KM Aegon is roll-on-roll type ship that can carry vehicles, heavy equipment, and passengers. Separately, head of secretariat of PT Pelni, Ridwan Mandaliko, said by the press release that KM Aegon begins to dock at Tanjung Perak Port, Surabaya on Tuesday at 1 p.m. local time before departing to Lembar Port in Lombok at 6 p.m. local time. In addition to providing free ship, PT Pelni also sent humanitarian assistances in form of staple foods and medicines for earthquake victims. It is scheduled that the assistance will be deposited through the KM Aegon before being handed over to the Regional Disaster Management Agency of West Nusa Tenggara to be distributed to all victims. Upcoming earthquake and tsunami threat in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, spreading on social media, was affirmed as a hoax. Therefore, tourists and local people in Gili Trawangan, Gili Air, and Gilimano do not need to be panicked and called for evacuation. The Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency BMKG stated that the earthquake with 7 magnitude occurred on Sunday was primary earthquake from series of earthquakes having occurred since July the 29th. The information was given by the head of Central Information, Data, and Public Relations from the National Agency of Disaster Management, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, on his press statement in Jakarta on Monday.
Karena tadi adanya isu akan adanya
due to the spreading issues of upcoming tsunami, earthquake, and instruction to M33 Islands, we confirm that these issues are falsehood and hoax. Therefore, tourists in there do not have any mandatory to leave the areas. We give them freedom if they still want to extend their stay. The condition is safe. The BMKG stated the 7 magnitude earthquake was a main shock or the primary earthquake from the previous series of earthquakes. The range of quakes was started from the 6.4 magnitude earthquake on July the 29th to yesterday's quake, in which upcoming earthquakes occurred more than 527 times. Regarding with the management attempt, Sutopo said that the National Agency for Disaster Management has sent 21 tons of logistics and equipment to the location of the earthquake, comprising several regions and cities in Lombok. The logistics consisted of instant food, medicines, heavy machinery, and clean water. Nevertheless, Sutopo explained that the distribution of the assistance was challenged by several things, including poor road access, lack of heavy equipment, and insufficient amount of personnel. The National Agency for Disaster Management said that the emergency period after the earthquake that struck Lombok will be applied until August the 11th. The disaster emergency response was the extension of the 6.4 magnitude earthquake's impact management on July the 29th. The last item. Indonesian Tourism Ministry has assured that the tourism of Lombok and Bali Islands remain conducive in the post-powerful earthquake that hit North Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara on Sunday evening. Tourism Crisis Management Head of the Ministry of Tourism, Desi Ruhati, said in a written statement on Monday that her side has held coordination with the regional government of West Nusa Tenggara. Desi Ruhati said her office had also communicated with tourism stakeholders and the local disaster mitigation agency and found that there were no tourists who got injured in the earthquake disaster. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya has activated his ministry's crisis center team to monitor the latest developments in the earthquake disaster occurred in Lombok. Presiden Joko Widodo highlighted the need to lay greater focus on services offered to tourists vacationing in Lombok after the earthquake hit on Sunday, August the 5th. Listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Lombok Post Earthquake, a reminder to improve alertness and solidarity. Over 1 week, Lombok and its surroundings in West Nusa Tenggara Province, NTB, were rocked by two large earthquakes. The largest one, measuring 7th on Richter scale, occurred on Sunday, 5th of August. The area affected by the worst earthquake was North Lombok. Up to now, more than 90 people had been killed and more than 200 others injured. Most of the victims were killed by collapsed buildings. Thousands of people had been evacuated to safer places. It is estimated that the number of victims and damage due to the earthquake impacts will continue to increase. Some earthquake-affected areas cannot be reached by the personnel of the Joint Search and Rescue Team. There are also allegations of victims buried in collapsed buildings that cannot be evacuated by the Joint Search and Rescue Team. The Joint Search and Rescue Team continue to comb the quake-affected areas to evacuate, rescue, and help the victims. Data collection continues to be carried out by the authorities. The soil of Lombok, which with its natural and cultural charm, is now devastated. The earthquake was also felt by some people in Bali. Igusti Ngurah Rai International Airport in Bali was impacted by the earthquake, although not seriously. Hundreds of foreign tourists who queued up to get out of Lombok became a sight throughout the day of the post-earthquake. A number of residents were panicked and they were running around without knowing where they were going to save themselves. Panic increased with power blackout. Panic also caused congestion everywhere. According to report of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, some foreign tourists evacuated themselves. They were traumatized by the 7 Richter scale earthquake, which was followed by an early warning tsunami. They were also worried about a larger aftershock followed by the tsunami because a lot of false information circulated that such earthquake would be followed by tsunami in Lombok later that night. The false information circulated outside Lombok region, making a lot of residents and tourists afraid. This information was incorrect and misleading. Under such situation, all related stakeholders have to share to improve awareness and knowledge. The government must educate its people throughout the country so that they prepare themselves instead of being panicked when an earthquake occurs. This must be done considering that Indonesia is an earthquake-prone region. Caution and self-readiness are important so that the people do not easily trust false information. Indonesian people must know that an earthquake cannot be predicted exactly how the magnitude is, where and when to occur. Post-earthquake with 7 Richter scale, there were aftershocks with smaller intensity. Until Monday night, there were 176 aftershocks. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with August the 7th, 1945. BPUPKI changed its name to the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, or PPKI. The Investigation Agency for the Efforts Towards Indonesian Independence, or shortened BPUPKI, is a body formed by the Japanese occupying government set on April the 29th, 1945 to coincide with the Emperor Hirohito's birthday. This body was formed as an effort to gain support from the Indonesian people by promising that Japan would assist the Indonesian independence process. Yet, since the formation process was not complete, the BPUPKI was dissolved by the Japanese and replaced by the PPKI, Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, on August 7, 1945. It consists of 21 people as a reflection of ethnic representation in the Dutch East Indies region and chaired by Insinyur Soekarno, which later became the first president of Indonesia. The main objective of the formation of the body was to accelerate the proclamation of independence to formulate the state order and state structure. Turning now to August 7, 1975, Henan Dam in China collapses. The collapse of the dam in China's Henan province on August 7, 1975, killed tens of thousands of people. News about this event was suppressed by the Chinese government for years. Typhoons from the South China Sea caused heavy rainstorms 3 days in a row to the southern Henan province. Overall, 62 dams collapsed in one night, including 2 large dams, one of which was the Bangkyo Dam. As a result of this disaster, 85,800 people died, according to official government figures. But other sources said the death toll was 230,000. I'll conclude Today in History with August 7, 1994, the founding of the Alliance of Independent Journalists, or AJI, in Indonesia. The Indonesian Alliance of Independent Journalists, or AJI, was born as the resistance of the Indonesian press community to the arbitrariness of the New Order regime. It began with the banning of Detik, Editor, and Tempo magazines on June 21, 1994. The three were disbanded because of their critical reporting on the authorities. This repressive action triggered a solidarity movement as well as resistance from many circles in a number of cities. After that, the resistance movement continued to crystallize, finally about 100 people, consisting of journalists and young Indonesian columnists, gathered in Sirna Galih Bogor, West Java on August 7, 1994, That was the day they signed the Sirna Galih Declaration. The essence of this declaration is to demand the fulfillment of the public's right to information, oppose the restraint of the press, reject a single forum for journalists, and announce the establishment of the Indonesian Journalist Alliance, of AJI. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will highlight the topic Pancasila values expected to be applied in the daily life. Having good model is the most important thing in applying Pancasila into daily life. This was stated by head of the Brensas State Office, Muldoko, as quoted by Gatra.com. He views that a good model of family, which applies the head values of Pancasila, would be more effective to young generation nowadays than using indoctrination approach. He also explained that the young generation prefers communicative, participative, and interactive ways. Meanwhile, Special Task Force member of Pancasila Ideology Development Agency, Benny Susetio, sat in Jakarta on last Tuesday. The agency wants to implement Pancasila in the daily life and to make Indonesian people get used to. He also remarked that the example of implementing Pancasila's values in the daily life is to accept the differences and to respect each other. The tradition of being indiscriminatory has been done so far. Benny also said that the government has applied one of the Pancasila's values, namely social justice for all Indonesian people. Moreover, Benny also pointed out that this agency is attempting to put Pancasila values into learning material. It could be into special boot or integrated into the existing subjects. This was also responded by education observer Damanintias, who said that Pancasila has to be introduced intensively. If it is not done, the mindset of the student would be automatically affected, including how they implement tolerance in different religions, tribes, or how they think about social justice. He hopes that the government could more intensively oversee and remind how the subject of Pancasila can be learned in informal education institutions. Well, listener, that was my Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, here's news in brief. Venezuelan Republic Ambassador to Indonesia, Gladys Francisca Urbaneja Duran in Jakarta on Monday, admitted to be optimistic that cooperation between the two countries will continue to increase. Indonesia and Palestine signed their implementing agreement on MOU about the preference of applying 0% custom duty elimination for dates and virgin olive oil products from Palestine. Bali process has been started since Monday in Nusa Dua for senior official meeting. Indonesian government has decided emergency response to be conducted for 2 until 3 weeks. PT PLN provides ship to distribute humanitarian assistance to Lombok West Nusa Tenggara from Surabaya, East Java. Upcoming earthquake and tsunami threat in Lombok spreading on social media was confirmed as a hoax. Indonesian Tourism Ministry has assured that the tourism of Lombok and Bali Islands remains conducive. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu. Berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. We deserve to be the one.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present you information about Ngalau Indah in West Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, Payakumbuh is one of the cities in West Sumatra province. The city is surrounded by highland and mountain. Therefore, this geographical factor affects the cool temperature of the city. At least, there are three superb mountains whose summits can be viewed from the city, namely Mount Sago, Mount Merapi, and Mount Singgalang. The enchanting panorama of the city from the top of the hill in Payakumbuh becomes tourism attractions of the city. One of the remarkable attractions is the summit of Ngalau Indah. This tourism object combines the impeccable scenery of the Payakumbuh city with nuances of natural cave tourism. Listener, Ngalau Indah is located 4 kilometers from the center of Payakumbuh or 31 kilometers from Bukit Tinggi. To get into the gate of Ngalau Indah, you are required to purchase the ticket for 7,000 rupiah per person. Once you enter the gate, you will be welcomed by the scenery of a breadth of green plantations and trees that stand profoundly. About 300 meters from the gate, there is beautiful and big cave that you can visit. Inside the enormous cave, we can see the beauty of the stalactite and stalagmite, which are still preserved very decently. The cave is inhabited by a flock of bats and swallows who nestled in the gap between ceilings with approximately 10 meters high. For caving activity, you do not need to be afraid of getting lost because inside the cave, footpaths and lights are provided to guide you. Even colorful lights are featured in some walls of the cave to embellish the cave. Inside this cave with 640 meters high above the sea level, there are stones with unique and distinctive shape. One of them is Gong Stone. The Gong Stone is a perforated stone with porous cone shape resembling to a bell. The location of the stone is right on the left side of the cave's entrance. Having unique shape enables the Gong Stone to produce resonation quite loudly. There are also two stones located vertically parallel, and their shapes share similar features to elephants and mushrooms. Moreover, there are also stones which look similar like oxen, umbrella, and human beings. The track of the caving has 80 meters long. Listener, for those who would like to visit Ngalau Indah, other than exploring the cave, you can also enjoy the panorama of Payakumbuh city thoroughly. When you walk the footpath to the upper part of the cave, you can see the Simarajo summit with 1,500 meters high above the sea level. From the height of the summit, you can witness how spectacular the scenery of Payakumbuh is. This tourism object is also facilitated with restaurants and swimming pool. while for those who want to swim, swimming pool is available with ticket price of 10,000 rupiah per person. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Ngalau Indah in Payakumbuh, West Sumatra. See you on the next edition of Indonesian Wonder.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, berapa harganya? How much is the price? Next is an example of a conversation on berapa harganya? How much is the price? Tony and Endah are buying a batik scarf at a batik shop. Tony, selendang ini berapa harganya? Pramuniaga, 90. Tony, maaf, saya kurang mengerti berapa harga selendang ini. 90.000. Oh. After listening to the conversation, I'll introduce some phrases and vocabulary related to the today's topic, which is berapa harganya, which means how much is the price. I'll say every sentence 2 times and you can repeat after me. Selendang ini berapa harganya? Selendang ini berapa harganya? Which means how much is this scarf? 90. 90, which means 90. Maaf, saya kurang mengerti. Maaf, saya kurang mengerti, which means sorry, I don't understand. Berapa harga selendang? Berapa harga selendang, which means how much is the price of a scarf? 90.000 rupiah. 90.000 rupiah, which means 90,000 rupiah. To ask the price of a thing, you use the interrogative form berapa, which means how much or how many. Sometimes it is followed by the word harga, which means the price, but sometimes not. Example, berapa harga selendang ini? Berapa harga selendang ini, which means how much is the price of this scarf? Selendang ini berapa? Selendang ini berapa? Which means how much is this scarf? Selendang ini harganya berapa? Selendang ini harganya berapa? Which means this scarf, how much is the price? The sentence berapa harga selendang ini? Berapa harga selendang ini, which means how much is the price of this scarf, is very formal. In everyday conversation while shopping, it is seldom used. Usually people will say berapa ini? Berapa ini, which means how much is this? Or yang itu berapa? Yang itu berapa, which means how much is that? Or baju itu berapa harganya? Baju itu berapa harganya, which means how much is that dress? Next, in the dialogue, you heard the shop assistant mention the price, 90. 90, which means 90. In the buying and selling process, this is quite normal. The word ribu, which means thousands, puluh ribu, which means tens of thousand, And ratus ribu, which means hundreds of thousands, are not uttered. The same goes for the word juta, which means millions. However, this doesn't always happen. If you encounter such things, you'd better confirm the price so as not to make a mistake. Now is usage. Sepatu itu berapa harganya? Which means, how much are these shoes? 200, which means 200s. 200 rupiah. 200 rupiah, which means 200 rupiahs. 200 ribu rupiah. 200 ribu rupiah, which means 200,000 rupiahs. Other usage. Berapa harga rumah ini, which means how much is the price of this house? 600, which means 600. 600 ribu, which means 600,000. Bukan 600 juta rupiah, which means no, 600 million rupiahs. Before ending today's lesson, here is the conversation once again. Selendang ini berapa harganya? 90. Maaf, saya kurang mengerti. Berapa harga selendang ini? 90 ribu. Oh. After listening to the conversation on berapa harganya, which means how much is the price, I'll give you some exercise which of course related to the words you've learned so far. The exercise today is describing your job by mentioning your name, profession, workplace, working time like working days and hours. Example, nama saya Andi, saya seorang wartawan. Saya bekerja di Surat Kabar Sinar Pagi. Saya bekerja dari Senin sampai Jumat mulai pukul 8 pagi sampai pukul 4 sore. Jam istirahat saya mulai pukul 12 sampai pukul 1 siang. Send your voice recording of the exercise in Bahasa Indonesia to email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be an attractive gift for a lucky listener whose name will be announced in November 2018. Well, that was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. Let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present some Malay songs by Eddie Silitonga. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tak Pernah Kusangka by Eddie Silitonga. The song expresses sorrow of heart. Happy listening.
Sungguh ku tak sangka pohon duku banyaklah buah.
Listener, you've just listened to the Malay song entitled Tak Pernah Kusangka by Eddie Silitonga. The lyrics of the song tells about someone who does not expect that the life will be full of sorrow, his or her unlucky destiny and desolated life. The person misses happiness for his or her life. The song has sad and heartbreaking music just like the lyrics. Created by Rinto Harahap, the song Tak Pernah Kusangka included into the album of Pop Melayu Volume 1. Listener, another song of Eddie Silitonga will be presented to you entitled Aziza. The Malay song tells about the girl Aziza. On the lyric, Aziza is described as someone who is beautiful, spoiled girl, and having bright skin and sweet smile. No wonder if people adore her. This song also included in the album of Pop Melayu Volume 1. Enjoy the song.
Rupamu nan jelita, gaya kamu nan manja, membuat hatiku kini tergoda. Siang jadi kenangan, malam jadi impian. Keranamu Aziza, keranamu Aziza. Putih kulitmu, putih kulitmu, pandang tak jemu. Tangannya asalkan dapat bertemu denganmu, cinta dipadu, oh Aziza. Kalau kau menjadi bunga, biar ku jadi tangannya asalkan dapat bertemu denganmu, cinta dipadu.
Listener, you are still with us in the segment of Music Corner featuring Eddie Silitonga. The singer, who was born in Pematang Siantar, North Sumatra, was known with high-tone voice. He has released dozens of albums with various genres. Now, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Bunga Tanjung by Eddie Silitonga. The song also included into Pop Melayu Volume 1 album and tells about an expectation of someone who looks for protection for his helpless life. The music is so sad, just like the lyrics. Enjoy the song, and sampai jumpa.
Baumu si bunga latanjung, harumnya sampai melintasi
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.